Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Dunamis Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamis Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamis Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm here with my co-host today, Catherine Pearson.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. Contact info.
Shall we give some?
Well, we could give some, or they could also go to our page and they'll find it all there.
Yes.
All of our phone numbers and our emails and all of that are on the blog talk radio page.
Post, right.
Post, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, of course, we'd always invite you to check out our website, dunamiscenter.com. And
Dunamis is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. And the website offers a lot of information. It also has all of our other contact information on it. And it has the products that we have available and information about counseling,
mm-hmm.
childbirth,
books.
Yes.
Check it out.
So, you know, Christmas is coming up, and our Proverbs study guide might be a really good Christmas present.
Right. Yes. I have gone through it a little. I started going through it, and I really enjoy it. I think it's a neat, you know, verse-by-verse study. So I would encourage people to pick it up for themselves, like you said, as a gift. It's a great resource.
We had somebody here looking at it one day who was the head of Christian education for a very large church north of us. And his comment was, this is perfect for high schoolers and young Christian people who are new to their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, it'd be great to get this into the high school groups. So if you have a high schooler or a junior high schooler, you might consider it for that as well as seasoned Christians. I know sometimes it's really valuable to go back and kind of lay some foundation again and remember what that is.
Review the basics. Yeah.
I find every once in a while it's a really good idea to do that because I think I know something and I know it, but then to have to kind of dig into it again, it sort of re-cements my connection to it and what God's doing.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a lot of fun. Well, Thanksgiving's coming up.
It is. Happy November.
Yeah, I know. 2015, my gosh.
I know. I feel like I say every holiday season, where did the year go?
I know.
But here we are.
And the older I get, and the busier you get, the faster it seems to go.
Right.
But this year, for the Thanksgiving shows, we decided to do a couple things a little bit differently. And our show today is called...
It's not the turkey's fault you're fat.
I know. Because we always talk about that at the holidays, don't we? Oh, I'm going to gain so much weight. Oh, I just eat too much.
Right. It's the turkey. It's the dressing. It's the mashed potatoes, gravy, pie.
Right. If those weren't there, I wouldn't be fat. I just sat down at the table and magically gained 10 pounds.
Ta-da.
Yeah. I think I smelled it. I don't know. But it's like we do blame other things for our own issue, don't we?
Right. We'd like to remove our own responsibility from it and put it onto something else or another situation or blame something else.
Right. And so, you know, I was just thinking how we want to blame an inanimate object, basically a dead turkey at that point. They were animated before. But potatoes or, you know, candy or whatever, we take this inanimate object and we make it the fault of why our life's not going okay. And we're hearing that all the time about physical condition and food, not just at Thanksgiving. There just happens to be a whole lot more of it laid out for us to choose from.
Right, right.
And, no, we don't want to miss out. We're not saying don't have a little goodie here and there. But taking responsibility is so hard, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Just today I was at my day job. But anyway, we had a potluck for Thanksgiving.
Today?
Yep.
Okay.
I know it's early. It's early from Thanksgiving, but I was really conscientious about just taking a little bit of the things that I wanted to try. Just very, you know, deliberately taking just a small spoonful of those things. And I thought it made a difference. You know, I didn't feel like overly stuffed and uncomfortable after.
You know, and it almost reminds me of when you go to a buffet too.
Right.
You know, everybody lays their food out, or the potluck at church, and I'm learning that same type of thing where sometimes when you're at a buffet, especially, or you know, a Thanksgiving dinner, you want to get your money's worth, or you want to get your efforts worth for being there or for cooking a lot, and I have found that there's a tendency to want to pile a lot of stuff on, isn't there?
Yeah, it'd be really easy. Yep.
So to take just a little taste first. So I'm learning at a buffet to take just that little taste of each thing that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And then figure out what I actually really like.
Right.
And then I can always go get more of that if it's something that I was enjoying. And so to do the same thing like at Thanksgiving dinner could be helpful too. No, just give me a little piece of that, a little bit of this. And then whatever was really good, just enjoy a little more of that. But what we are doing instead is just taking a whole lot of everything and then feeling like we have to clean our plate.
Right. And I think it's not just food.
No.
There's this, the word gluttony.
Yeah.
Kind of an evil word.
Well, but it's a sin.
So yeah.
It's got to be an evil word. Yeah.
And not many people like to use it. And I don't feel like I hear it in church much. But I think we tend to see that in, you know, a lot of different areas.
So really when we say gluttony, it isn't just food. But it is like the acceptable sin of the church, isn't it? I mean, even if we start with food, every event, everything, tons of food is there. We think we have to try everything. And I know sometimes I have to fight a tendency when I go to an event of, ooh, I want to get at the front of the line so I can get everything. So I have to watch that and just sort of hang back and trust that whatever's left, or if there's nothing left of something, that's okay. I didn't really miss out. It's all right.
Yeah, it might be, like you said, a little bit of fighting your own human tendencies, but your health might thank you in the long run.
Definitely. But we had looked at this article this week about how gluttony is the acceptable sin, and so we say the word gluttony, but it's excess. You were mentioning that. And, you know, that the author said something really interesting, I thought, about excess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, it says, at its simplest, gluttony is the soul's addiction to excess. It occurs when taste overrules hunger, when want outweighs need.
Mm.
And, you know, in America, we're used to upsizing everything. Upsizing our food, upsizing our houses, upsizing our
everything.
Bank accounts. And another comment it says here is, all desire for excess stems from a lack of satisfaction.
Yeah, and comparison gets you on that one, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we moved to Colorado, we moved from the San Jose area, which is between San Francisco and then South San Jose. IBM started out there. And that was the most expensive housing in the United States.
Wow.
So we had a very small house. Mm-hmm. We had about a 900-square-foot house with one bathroom, and there were five of us.
Whew.
Yeah. Well, see your reaction?
I know.
And to me, people used to always say to me, you need a bigger house. And my response was always, I need less stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, I always used to say, I don't need a bigger house. I need less stuff.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Because I felt like the problem wasn't the house. There were three bedrooms. There were the three kids. We had this huge yard for them to play in. But it was like there was too much stuff in it.
Right.
So then we moved to Colorado, and we were looking for a house because now the Lord, you know, put us in a place where my husband's income meant we could actually buy a house. It was mind-blowing for us the first year we were here looking at houses.
And do you mean, for example, the amount, the size of house that you could get
yes.
for the money?
Well, the size of house we could get for the money, but the size of expectation of the people. You know, my husband and I and the kids, we went and looked at a house one day. It was, to me, humongous.
Okay.
Okay. Just huge. And the real estate agents, and it was probably 2,500 square feet of living, and then there was a basement on top of that.
Okay.
Okay, so, I mean, we're talking lots of house.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady says, how many people are in your family? And I said, 5. Oh, this house isn't big enough for you. We just looked at each other and went, what? I looked at her and I said, are you ridiculous? This is like way more house than we need.
We're coming from
900 square feet. Yeah. So it was just that idea that, oh, you got to have more, you got to have more, you got to have more for your money.
Mm.
And we were just like, no, we don't. Not only that, I didn't want to clean it. Thank you very much. You have to remember, the more you have of something, the more you have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can have gluttony with food, possessions, cars.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have the biggest, the best, that sort of thing. But, you know, God has a lot to say about gluttony, doesn't he?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And most of it, or all of it, is not good.
Right.
So,
yeah, there he deals with, throughout the Bible, you know, lots of different peoples that deal with gluttony, and he has a way of handling it.
Well, you know, since we were talking about excess and, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, and we should have more, and I should go back to my condition I was in before, that's Numbers. We run into Numbers 11, don't we, Catherine? And what's happening there is the Egyptians have been freed from slavery.
The Israelites.
Excuse me. The Israelites from Egypt.
Right.
And they are out in the desert, and God is providing what they need.
Right.
Manna.
Mm-hmm.
Food. Granted, I think I'd get a little tired of the same thing, you know, over and over and over. But the fact of the matter was they started thinking about, oh, Egypt was better because it had this food, that food. They started comparing what they had or what the Egyptians had to offer to what God was giving them, totally forgetting that they had to make bricks from straw and mud. They were whipped. They were beaten. They were killed. They were just, you know, treated terribly.
Right.
So in their complaining and their gluttony, oh, where's our meat, this and that, all they started focusing on was we were better off there
mm-hmm.
and forgot about the problem. Well, God had a little answer for them, didn't he?
So this is the end of Numbers 11 in verse 31. It says, the wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp. Verse 32, and the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered the quail. They spread the quail out for themselves around the camp. But while, and this is verse 33, while the meat was still between their teeth before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. And verse 34, there they buried the people who had yielded to craving.
Wow.
Which I found really interesting. There, it was wrong to be craving.
Well, they yielded to it.
Right.
You know, and so sometimes we lay our thoughts and our eyes on something, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We might see what our neighbor has or what somebody else in church has, and we lay our eyes on it. And, you know, the word tells us we should mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say somebody gets a brand new car. Maybe it's the first time ever they were able to have a new car.
Yeah.
And they are just like, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't even believe that God provided for us and gave us this new car. And I go look at it, and all I start to do is think about how come they got a new car and I didn't, instead of saying, wow, that is so great that God blessed you. And I'm satisfied with what God has provided for me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so then I start, oh, how can I get that car? How can I, you know, finagle it? How can I look as good as them or something like that? And you know what I find interesting, Catherine, is in Proverbs 23, verse 21. Wait, that's not the right chapter. I'm trying to remember where I am. 23:21. Here we are. That was the wrong verse. Okay, so now I've set my eyes upon something. I crave it, and I just do it. But you know, it says here, for the heavy drinker and the glutton, they'll come to poverty.
Mm.
So we've got Proverbs 23:21, that when we give into the cravings you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
we can end up in poverty.
Right.
Now, yeah. How does that fit with Thanksgiving? Physical poverty, right? We give in to the cravings, and we can end up in a physical poverty, like bad health.
Health, right.
Yeah.
Poor health. That's poverty of health.
That's a poverty of our physical health.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we end up in poverty because now we go to the doctor because we don't feel good because we ate wrong, and now he's going to prescribe this drug and that drug. And I am always shocked when I hear how much people are spending on drugs. And then you see the drug ads, and they're like, hey, if you can't afford your drugs, we, the drug pushers, might be able to help you with that. So now we have another gluttony, almost.
Gluttony of prescription meds?
Yes. And we're going to talk about that in a few weeks when we talk about the drug-addicted church. But it just kind of becomes very cyclical, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Proverbs 23, at the beginning of that chapter, there's another suggestion. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite.
Or gluttony.
Do not.
Some verses will use gluttony instead of appetite there. And so you can really fall into a problem again.
Yeah.
So, Catherine, we're just going to break away from our topic for a moment
mm-hmm.
and share with our audience that the new book, Won't Somebody Please Hear Me?, about healing from cesarean trauma, birth trauma tomology syndrome, that is coming out this month.
Exciting!
Yeah. And so they can go to that website, dunamoscenter.com, and we can take pre-orders right now because it should be in printing by early next week, and then that's like a two-week process for us to have them in our hands.
Yes. So they shall be available shortly.
Absolutely. And if you are able to even catch me speaking sometime, we'll be having those available for sale at ICANN groups or church groups and things like that. So it's another opportunity.
Yes. Very exciting.
Okay. So let's get back to God and gluttony. And he does not like it.
Right?
Yeah. Because, you know, we're really telling God, aren't we, that you're not sufficient for us.
Hmm. Yeah.
When we get into gluttony, that what you're providing is not sufficient.
It's true. It's sad, but true.
And so then he says, I would like you to do things a certain way. And we say, I don't like your way, so I don't have to obey that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it always seems to work out better when we do things his way.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just saying.
I know. And then I'm reminded of Corinthians where it says, everything is permissible for a Christian, because a lot of Christians will go, well, you know, we can do what we want and, you know, God, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes, it's true. But what's the end of that? Not everything is beneficial to you.
Right.
You know, so it's
right.
not beneficial, but there's also bigger problems, and you've got some scriptures there too, don't you, about how God responds to our gluttony and our disobedience in that area.
Right. I had turned to Proverbs 25 real quick, verse 16. It was another result of gluttony. It says, have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit.
Yeah, so there's your physical deficiency or poverty.
Yeah, watch out for that. I also found this interesting in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Starting in verse 18, it talks about It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his parents when they have disciplined him, then the parents shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.
Mm.
Then the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I think I would be afraid if I saw somebody
immediately
stoned.
Yeah, and that's when I say, thank God I'm under the blood and not under the Old Testament.
Amen.
Because I know that I've had my issues with some of these things too. And you know, I've mentioned my son who's had problems. I have actually said to him, thank God we're not under the Old Testament rules, because this is what would happen to you. You know, if we went and told the elders that you were a
rebellious
glutton and into drugs and rebellious,
mm-hmm,
and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Just be thankful for the blood of Jesus right now.
Amen.
Is what I used to tell him. And that's where, you know, that's why I say Christians can say, because we're under the blood, this stuff doesn't really matter. But we know that gluttony is talked about as a sin,
mm-hmm,
throughout Scripture, and also like what I just mentioned with Corinthians, that, yeah, God may allow certain things he used to stone us for, but it's not beneficial.
Right.
You're going to end up in a poverty.
Right. In Philippians 3, verse 17, it says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who also walk this way, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, waiting for my for my smartphone to move to the next verse. Sorry. I tell you that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly.
Ugh.
And whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things.
So, yeah, that is so powerful. Is your belly your God?
Yes.
So when you sit at a Thanksgiving dinner,
mm-hmm,
yes, we have this wonderful food set before us.
Right.
And we're told to eat what's set before us as well. But not all of it.
Right.
You don't get to have half the 22-pound turkey and say, well, it was set before me.
Right, right. Yeah, I just thought it was really interesting that those whose God is their belly is an enemy of the cross of Christ. Yikes.
Ouch.
Yeah. Right? But I did find it interesting. It goes on. It says in verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able, even to subdue all things to himself.
Yeah, it's just interesting how there's that juxtaposition of all of this going on for us as Christians, because it's very easy to try to dismiss some of this stuff because, oh, it's Old Testament and, you know, we're not under that now. And when you read things like slit your own throat,
yeah,
go get stoned to death kind of thing, it's like, well, yeah, I am very grateful I'm under the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I just have free rein to do whatever I want. That's where we think our grace is a free rein for whatever.
Right, but this is New Testament, Philippians.
I know, and so don't let your belly be your God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Catherine, we're always talking about living a dunamis life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a dunamis life is living a life that's already filled with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So if I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that means that I already inside of me have the power to not do comparison, to not let my stomach rule, to not get focused on craving what my neighbor has, covet what your neighbor has. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Do not covet.
Right. Yeah. Right. So we're talking not just about craving food. I mean, yes, that's part of it, you know, especially as we get closer to Thanksgiving. But we're also, you know, we have to watch out for our cravings in regards to our bank accounts,
mm-hmm,
in regards to our sometimes maybe even our dreams and our hopes and desires, you know, do those align with what God's will is for us? And are they not just our own selfish cravings?
Right, exactly. And then, you know, this crosswalk.com is where we were looking at, like a blog that this person wrote about the gluttony and the excesses. And, you know, here he's quoting, "In pursuit of lesser portions, our tastes have dulled." So in other words, we think that what we're looking at, like they thought the quail in Numbers was this great portion, but it was really lesser than what God had for them.
So
then our taste buds are dulled, or our senses get dulled, because we lose out on the beauty and the magnificence of what God is providing for us, because we worship our stomach, we covet with our eyes and our senses, and then we start moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a problem.
Yeah. It reminds me of, you know, when we eat, let's say, an apple or an orange or fruit, you know, there's a flavor there that we're used to. And then we go over and we eat, let's say, Doritos or donuts.
Right.
You know, and it's a whole magnified taste sensation that dulls our taste buds for what fruit and vegetables God has provided for us.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that ends up happening is when we are gluttonous, not just with our food, but like with our possessions, with our things, it starts to push time for God out. People don't realize how much time it takes to manage your stuff.
It
takes a lot of time to manage stuff.
That's true.
And we could even go on, like, if a man or a woman says, "My marriage is not enough," or "My marriage bed is not enough." So then I go have an affair. Now I got to manage it. You know what I mean? I mean, think about the amount of time. I got a spouse at home that now I've got to try to keep this other thing from, this other affair from. How much time, energy, and money is going into managing that gluttonous need?
That lying and deception and...
And you got to keep track of it, and you got to spend money on the person you're having the affair with. And so then that whole thing of gluttony leads to poverty.
Right.
And the worst of it is spiritual poverty.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what we're trying to say, I think, more than anything else, is our dunamis life is we want more of God and less of what the world is offering us.
Mm-hmm. And when we have more of God, we can walk in that power of the Holy Spirit to be content with what He's provided for us and what, you know, and how He meets our needs, rather than needing to go out and, you know, have all these other fantastic, you know, things.
You're right. And so I guess what I want to say, when you go to the Thanksgiving or to prepare the meal today, think consciously about how many people are actually going to be at that table.
Right.
And provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have 5 people at the table, you don't need to provide for 25. And if you're going to provide for 25, invite 25. You know, and that way everybody will get their portion, and nobody will have to be gluttonous about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before we close up today, Catherine, we just wanted to remind our listeners that we are a donation-supported organization.
True.
So it's difficult sometimes to convey that, because we're not a 501c3, which makes the U.S. government your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it would allow you to have that federal tax deduction. But I remember when Moses called for the gold and the jewelry to build the temple of God, he didn't say, "And then I'll give you a tax deduction for it." And the people gave to overflowing.
Yeah.
He had to tell them to stop. Mm. The outpouring was so great. And I know that you like to say one of the things we're doing here is trying to prevent widows and orphans.
Yeah.
And we'll do a whole show on that one time.
Yeah.
But if you would feel led by God to donate, again, go to that website, dunamascenter.com, and there's donation buttons all over. And we really do put it to the use of being here to help families and marriages and keeping them together.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And I really enjoyed our topic today, and I look forward to talking again next week.
Yes. Yeah.